All right, we're in 1 John chapter number 2 tonight. 1 John chapter number 2. In our verses this evening, we're looking at part 2 of paths to avoid in our walk of fellowship with the Lord as believers. We are to walk in fellowship with the Lord, amen. It's difficult to walk with the Lord in fellowship if you are a friend of the world, if you have a love for the world. You're not going to love God the way that you're supposed to love. You're not going to love the Savior the way you should love Him. You're not going to love the brethren the way you should love them. And you're not going to love lost sinners the way you should love them. So we saw that one path to avoid last week was we need to avoid love for the world. Well, another thing that we see a path to avoid is this matter of apostasy. And this has to do with either you're walking with the Lord or you're not. if you're not walking with Him and you get caught up in error, you're going to be going in the wrong direction. In order to walk in fellowship with the Lord, we need to avoid this path of apostasy. And we're going to read verses 18, and we're in 1 John chapter number 2, and let's go ahead and read the scripture, verse 18 down through verse 27. Verse 18, little children, it is the time, the last time, he says, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. That's the key verse right there. He's writing these words that we're reading right now. He's writing concerning them that would seduce these believers. He says in verse 27, but the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. We'll leave off reading there. Now, the first thing in talking about avoiding apostasy, you got to be sure that you know what we're talking about. And that's why I've given you the definition there, the very top of your page, of what apostasy is. If you don't have a clear definition, you're not going to understand what we're talking about tonight. Apostasy is the deliberate departing from the faith. Now, when we talk about the faith, we're talking about the faith as it was once delivered to the apostles. We're talking about the faith that was delivered to us, that we are to deliver to the next generation. Okay, that's what I want you to keep in mind. Apostasy is the deliberate departing from the faith. It's brought about usually incrementally through the introduction of error and heresy, often at the hand of deceitful reprobates. And there's a lot more of this going on in our day and time than you can really imagine. I'm talking about even in so-called independent fundamental circles. there are people who are departing from the faith as it was delivered to us. Amen. So what we want to do tonight is to answer two questions if we can. And that is, number one, how can we prevent apostasy in our lives? And how are we to deal with this matter of apostasy? So to these two questions, the Word of God gives some clear answers. I want you to see God's provision. How can we prevent apostasy in our lives? Well, it's through God's provision. God's provision for spiritual discernment. This passage is written, as we said there in verse 26, it's written concerning them that would seduce you. Them that seduce you. And it gives us God's double defense against apostasy. Understand that God has given us, he mentions verse 20, he says, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. We have an unction. In verse 27, this is called the anointing. Look at verse 27 again. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. Understand that this both of these expressions refer to the Spirit of truth. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit came into your life to take up residence within you. And referred to by Jesus in John 14, verse 17, as the Spirit of truth. John 14, 17 says, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And so one of the problems in getting drawn into apostasy is not walking in the Spirit. Okay? And just be blunt with you. If you're not walking in the Spirit, you're subject to being pulled away by apostates. You're subject to being pulled away from the faith by apostates. We are also instructed to let that which we have heard from the beginning abide in us. Verse number 24, he says, let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. Now this refers to his commandment which we are to walk in. You're there in 1 John. Just flip a page over in my Bible. It might be a page or two in yours. The 2 John, verse number 6. It says, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. We're to walk. We've mentioned in previous verses how that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And we're to love our neighbors as ourselves. That's the commandments. All of the commandments of God are wrapped up in those two commandments. And according to 2 Peter 3 and verse 2, we are to be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of the apostles of our Lord and Savior. Okay? We're to be mindful. If you're not in the book, how are you going to be mindful? You can't, can you? It takes being in the Word of God. Someone who is not in the book, someone who's out of church, not faithful to church, not faithful to listen to the preaching of the messages, someone who is not walking in the Spirit, can I tell you they're in extreme danger of being pulled by apostate? They just really are. Look, over a few more pages to the little book of Jude, verse number 17. And we're going to be in the book of Jude quite a bit tonight, so you might just want to stick you something in there. It's not that far over, just a page or two. But we're going to be over there quite a bit. And Jude 17, it instructs us to remember what it says there. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how can you remember those words? You got to be in the book. Now, in Jude here, in verses 20 through 23, we are given seven practical steps to avoid falling into error. This whole book of Jude is about the matter of standing for truth, earnestly contending for the truth. Notice verse number 3, Jude 3. He said, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation," what he means by common salvation, it means that which we share in the salvation of the Lord. "It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." It was once delivered unto the saints. And this book talks about those that walk in error. It gives several Old Testament examples of people being drawn into error. And then here toward the end of the book in Jude 20 through 23, we're given seven practical steps to avoid falling into error. And that's one reason why I wanted to give you the handout too, is so you wouldn't miss out on those seven things. First thing we see is found in verse 20. He said, "But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." There's two things that are mentioned here. Build up yourselves on your most holy faith. That means we have to be diligent, don't we? Had to be diligent in our growth as Christians, as our growth as believers. God intended for us to, when we got saved, when we got born again, that we would grow in Him. And when you stop growing, you are easy pickings for error. Very easy pickings. Build up yourselves on your most holy faith. And then the second thing he mentions there is praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, this is not something spooky. What is praying in the Holy Ghost? Well, the Holy Ghost is the power in which we pray in. We pray in His power. And sometimes when we don't know how to pray, He takes over. Amen. He prays He prays in words that we cannot understand, which cannot be uttered, according to Romans chapter 8. But we are to pray in the Holy Ghost. I'm afraid a lot of praying is done just in the flesh. Now, people pray and they have no sense about a spiritual, what prayers to be about, the spiritual nature of prayer, and they just pray the way they want to. But you know, God wants us to pray the way that He has designed for us to pray, and He gave His disciples a lesson on how to pray, and we, of course, people call it the Lord's Prayer, but it was the Lord's pattern prayer. For them to know things that should be included in prayer and how they should approach the Heavenly Father in prayer. But we're to pray in the Holy Ghost, pray in His power. Then we see in verse number 21, he says there, "Keep yourselves in the love of God." Keep yourselves in the love of God, the very first part of that. Now, what does that mean? God's never going to stop loving you. Okay, you ain't got to worry about that. That's not what you got to keep yourself in. What you got to keep yourself in is keep yourself in loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the love of God. Amen. And we're to keep ourselves in that love. Maintain your love affair with God. Maintain the love with Him so that you can love your neighbor as yourself. And then we see in the latter part of verse number 21, he says, "Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." I wonder tonight, are you looking expectantly for the return of Jesus? I believe that's what he's talking about here. Paul told Titus that was looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior. You know, we are looking, and we ought to be expectantly looking for the return of Jesus, because if you're not looking for Jesus to come back, if you're just busy about taking care of the affairs of this life and your life, and you're not concerned about the Lord's coming, you're more likely to be drawn into error. Then we see verse number 22, "And of some have compassion, making a difference." We're to look here to make a difference in other folks' lives through love. And we can only do that when our love for God is what it ought to be, and our love for the brethren is what it ought to be. Amen. We're to look to make a difference through love. And then he says, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. We're to seek to save the lost through sharing the gospel of Christ. The only way the lost are going to be able to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior is for somebody to pull them out of the fire, amen? You do that through the gospel. And then it says there in verse 23 also, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Can I tell you, there's not enough holy hatred of sin in our churches today. In fact, a lot of times there's a love affair with things that are wrong by people who claim to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to have a holy hatred of sin, worldliness, and the flesh. Romans 12, verse number 9, Paul put it this way, abhor that which is evil. You see, cleave to that which is good. Do you have an abhorrence of sin? When you sin, does it horrify you that you've overstepped the bounds that the Lord has laid down for you? It ought to. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 13 and 14, Paul admonished Timothy to continue in the things, he said, continue in the things which thou hast learned. Now, what had Timothy learned? He had learned the Word. In fact, he'd been taught the Word by his mother and his grandmother as a child. And he said, Paul admonished him, he said, continue in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Who assured him? Who assured Timothy of the words that he had learned in the Scriptures? Well, it was the Spirit of God. Spirit of God, the Spirit of God living within will give you an assurance that the things that are being taught and preached out of the Word of God are in fact truth. He said, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Of course, there were quite a few that had an influence in the life of Timothy. Paul was one of those. And that's not a bad teacher. Amen. I mean, Paul had sat and learned the Old Testament scriptures under the tutelage of Gamaliel. And then he, after he got saved, those scriptures came alive in his life, and he was able to... What he could not see before, seeing Christ throughout the Old Testament scriptures, all of a sudden, boom, it clicked. You know, that's why it's so important for these young people to learn scriptures at such a young age. Because there's going to come a time when the Lord will turn those scriptures on, and it'll click. Amen? It'll click one day. I know because it happened in my own life. Amen? And so we're to continue in the things which we've learned and been assured of by the Spirit of God, knowing whom we've learned those things. And I thank God for all of those who've had a part in my learning. So we see God's provision for spiritual discernment, but we also see God's prescription to solemn duty. Here's a fourfold plan that we must adhere to for dealing with the error and heresy and apostasy and reprobates, which abound really on every side in our day. People are trying to make the Word of God say things that it does not say. They want us to live in a tolerant society, and they're trying to make you think and make us think that God is okay with homosexuality, and He's not. That God is somehow okay with abortion and applauds abortion? Nothing could be further from the truth. These are apostates. These are reprobates that have gotten away from the truth. And we must adhere to this fourfold plan. If you will adhere to this, this will help you in a great way. Number one thing, first of all, you've got to stay alert for error. There can be no resting, no respite from watching. We must watch. Amen. Just turn to a couple of passages. Look at Acts chapter number 20. Acts chapter number 20. And even back in Paul's day, he was concerned. There were folks who tried to undo what the Apostle Paul was preaching and teaching. They were trying to undo what the apostles were saying about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the doctrines, the great doctrines of the faith. And they were trying to undo these things. And Paul knew that, and he wanted these pastors of Ephesus to understand that. In Acts 20 and verse number 18, let's see here, 20 verse number, verse number 28, I'm sorry, verse number 28. Acts chapter number 20, verse number 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. And notice verse 29, he says, for I know this. He said, Paul knew they must be diligent. He knew they needed to stay alert. He said, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Now, when we talk about the flock, he's talking about the church. He's talking about the church that these men pastored over. He says, also of your own selves. Now, this is the sad part. The sad part that I'm seeing today is I'm seeing some men of God who are leaving, they're departing from the faith. They have a good label to them. They call themselves Independent Fundamental Baptists, but they're not adhering to the doctrines that have been handed to them. In fact, I heard some of them boast in the fact that we're going to change fundamentalism. Well, why would you want to do that? You know, fundamentalism is what's been handed to us. It doesn't need changing. It needs to be protected. And that's what he's saying here. He says, also of your own selves, verse 30, shall men arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. And listen, folks, you've got to be careful. There are folks today who are doing the same thing. And I'm talking about locally. I'm talking about in Jacksonville, Florida, there's a group that is associated that is trying to redefine fundamentalism. And they're trying to change fundamentalism. Fundamentalism does not need to be changed. Verse 31, he said, therefore watch. There's that word, watch. Stay alert for error. Watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Look at 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Second Timothy chapter number 4 in verse number 1. Paul said these times were going to come. He told the young Timothy that very same thing here in 2 Timothy 4, 1. He said, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Well, what doctrine is he supposed to teach? The doctrine that's been delivered to you. Amen? The faith has been once delivered, and we're to keep it pure, and we're to pass it on. Look at verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Now, a fable is something that's not true. Be turned from the truth to the untruth. You know? And so we must stay alert. And just as the elders at Ephesus and Timothy, his pastor there, were to stay alert, we're to stay alert. Hebrews 13, verse 17 says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. I'm constantly watching, constantly looking. When folks come and visit, I kind of want to know where they come from and where do they stand with where they come from. Because I'm wary of the influence that they might wield over our church. Amen. I got to know if they're of the right thing. You know, and so I watch for your souls. He says, obey them that have to rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. We're going to get to 1 John 4:1 in not too long. And in 1 John 4:1, he says, "There, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Well, how do you try the spirits? Well, you try them based upon the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God living within. Amen. If it's in violation of the Word of God, if the Spirit of God gives you an uneasy feeling about it, buzzers ought to be going off. There's a warning. So we need to stay alert for error. Second thing here is we must stay separated from error. Okay, not just stay alert for, but you must stay separated from error. There can be no fellowship with the works of darkness. Ephesians 5, verse number 11 says we're to reprove those. It says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You're there in 2 Timothy. Look at chapter 3, verse number 1 through 5. And then we're going to flip back to chapter number 1 and look at some verses too. But look at chapter 3 there. He says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. In other words, they're going to be about self. You know? What does self want out of this? Self is flesh. See? Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, notice, lovers of pleasures, that gets back to that, lovers of their own selves, okay, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. They may sound godly, they may use a godly terminology, they may say use some of the same terminology that we use when we talk about God and Jesus, but it have different definitions. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. He says, from such, turn away. Look back at 1 Timothy chapter number 6. 1 Timothy 6 and verse number 3. And the end of verse number 2, he says, these things teach and exhort. And in verse number 3, he says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. And look what he says, from such withdraw thyself. Stay separated from those who would bring forth error. Stay intolerant of error. Okay, that's the third thing. Stay intolerant of error. You know, there's got to be an unending steadfastness. Romans 16, verse 17, Paul said, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Look at 1 Timothy here in chapter number 1. Look at 1 Timothy 1, verse 18. There were a couple of problems there in that Paul told Timothy about. He says, this charge, in verse 18, 1 Timothy 1:18, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Holding faith. Holding faith. Amen. And good conscience, which some having put aside, but having put away, excuse me, concerning faith, have made shipwreck. And then he mentions two examples here, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. So we must be stay intolerant of error. Unfortunately, a lot of times in the day and times in which we live, when error is pointed out in the congregation, sometimes folks have developed a relationship with particular individuals that are bringing forth error, and they love that individual more than they love the church itself. They are tolerant of error. They don't want to do what needs to be done to get rid of error. Look at the little book of Titus. Titus chapter number 1. Titus chapter number 1. Verse number 10. Well, let's back up to verse number 9. Titus 1, verse number 9, he says here, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able to, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. That's what my job is as pastor. He was given some qualifications of the bishop there. And got to hold fast the faithful word. Can't let it slip. Amen. Look at verse 10. And he tells the reason why. Here in verse 10 and 11, he says, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. We see here that Paul was very clear that Titus was not to be tolerant of those who would go against sound doctrine. Look at Titus 3 and verse number 10 and 11. Titus 3, verse 10 and 11. He said here, let's back up to verse number 9. He tells them here, he said, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. So we're to stay intolerant of error. A couple of other passages, 2 John verse 10 and 11, look at 2 John. Right there next to where we were at a little while ago. 2 John, verse 10 and 11. It says, if there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not in your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Jesus knows where we stand. He knew the churches that he spoke to in the book of Revelation. Remember the seven churches in Asia that he addressed? Well, in Revelation 2:2, he was speaking to the church at Ephesus, and he says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And how thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. That was a good thing that he pointed out about the Ephesian church. And then to the church at Thyatira in Revelation 2 and verse 20. Jesus speaking again said, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. So he praised one church for their standing strong against error, and he spoke against one that kind of let some things slide. So we're to stay alert for error. We're to stay separated from error. We're to stay intolerant of error. And then last of all, we see here, we're to stay contending for the faith and uncompromising with regard to error. I mean, there must be unbroken soundness and unrelenting safeguards in our lives. In other words, we must be diligent. That verse that we read in Jude 3, when Jude said that, he said, it's needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. We ought to continue to earnestly contend for the faith. Now, we've been dealing with in our study in the book of Galatians on Sunday mornings, and we ran into a little while back in Galatians chapter number 5, verse 7 through 9, where he said, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? And this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And we said that the problem is when you allow error to come in, it affects the whole body of Christ. Amen. And so we must stay diligent in our contending for the faith. Look at Matthew chapter number 16. Matthew chapter number 16. And this is the last place that I'll have you turn to. Matthew chapter number 16 and verse number 6. Jesus had to deal with apostasy there in his day. The people who were supposed to be people of the book, the Pharisees, you know, they should have been men of the book, shouldn't they? They should have been, but they weren't. They had slipped into thinking more about their traditions. Look at what Jesus said about them in verse number 6. Then said Jesus unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. He's talking to his disciples here. Well, the disciples were a little bit confused because Jesus had, they were thinking it was because they didn't bring any bread that Jesus was saying this. But look, verse number 11. He said, how is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Can I tell you that today many in churches are allowing themselves to be affected negatively by the apostasy of these last days that we live in? And apostasy is on the rise. And we ought to expect that. Jesus said it was going to be on the rise. Paul said it was going to be on the rise in the last days. The Word of God shows that. But we who are of the truth ought to guard against it. While not everybody that's being negatively affected by apostates, while they may not all be apostates themselves, they are nevertheless being neutralized by these apostate tendencies. They're being swept along in the flood tide of the denials of the age that we live in. What are we to be in our day and time? We're to be salt of the earth. We're to be light of the world. But they're no longer salt of the earth. They've lost their savor. They're no longer the light of the world as cities set on a hill that cannot be hid. But rather, whatever light they had is now hidden under a bushel of compromise with the world. As a church, we must guard against compromise. It is the first, fledglings of apostasy. In fact, many have developed a system of compromise which may even sound very convincing. You know, people who once stood strong for the faith, they begin to reason because they have so much pressure on them to move toward these apostate positions, and so they begin to compromise And they begin to develop this system of compromise. And before you know it, they moved away from the truth. And listen, apostasy is apostasy. Our forefathers stood for the truth. I'm talking about our forefathers of the faith. They earnestly contended for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints, and so should we. We cannot afford to abandon the true faith for convenience or for temporary peace with those who think otherwise. It's time for those of us who hold to the faith of the book to not only stand up for what we believe, but to speak up and proclaim it. Amen. Romans 13, I referred to it previously. Romans 13, verse 11 through 14 says, "And that knowing the time, that it is now high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. And let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Friend, I leave you with one last verse, Luke 18:8, that says, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" You know, people are being moved away from the positions of faith that have stood for centuries. And they're caught up in this drift. And before you know it, have you ever been caught in a drift in the water? When I was, there's been times when, several times in my life when I've been on water and wasn't paying attention while I was doing. And before I knew it, I had drifted far from where I had put in and where I intended to be. Because I got distracted by what I was doing. If I was fishing, sometimes you get distracted in your fishing, and if you don't have your boat anchored properly, you can just begin drifting away. And before you know it, you look back to where you put in at, and man, all you got is a paddle, and you got a paddle back because you don't have a motor on your boat. And at least we didn't have motors on our boats. We just had paddles is all we had, anyway. Or you can be in. Caught in a riptide. I was caught in a riptide at a young age, probably about the age of 10 years old, and was thankfully able to swim out of that riptide. But it carried me way far away from where I intended to be. Let's not get caught in the riptide of apostasy in our day. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, we ask you to take these words and, Lord, help them apply. Help us to apply them in our life. Lord, help us to see the danger in our day. The biggest danger that we have is to deny that apostasy is a possibility. And Lord, we see it all around. Lord, help us to guard ourselves so that we're not caught in this mess. We just pray you'd have your will and way in this invitation tonight. Lord, if somebody needs you, pray they'll come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Just be with us as Christians. Help us to develop the safeguards in our life to make sure that we're not caught up in apostasy. Have your way in this invitation, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll stand, please.